Hello, everyone. Welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I am Kenneth Amadori. What a week to be speaking to David Morgan of the Morgan Report. We've had such a positive week. We've seen in precious metals new highs in the price of gold and silver breaking out above its 2016 high. So it's a great time to be speaking to the silver guru. If you want to learn more about how to be positioned in this sector, visit themorganreport.com. You're going to get a good dose of what to expect there in this interview. David Morgan, thanks for coming on the show with me today.
Well, Kenneth, it's been a while. It's great to be back with you. And I take this as a compliment on Crush the Street, but I remember, I don't know how many years ago, I had a stab at 10, and you know, we're having dinner there, I think it was in Las Vegas, and your brother, maybe it's your cousin.
Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs. There we go. And like, you know, I actually gave you a few tips here and there. I'll just leave that anonymous. But, you know, I've come a long way. You're doing some great interviews, getting the word out to everybody. And you have a large audience. So my compliments to you, and just keep growing and keep doing what you're doing. So back to you.
Well, it's been a crazy year seeing what happened. I keep mentioning this and repeating this in my interviews, but I don't think any of us could have predicted the world, you know, in 2019, what to expect in 2020, right? You know, half the world getting shut down in some sort of lockdown phase, trillions of dollars getting thrown at the system in a response to this black swan event. And then all you have the riots and just the craziness going on. You know, you almost would have assumed gold would be $5,000 or $10,000, you know, if you were to predict that a year ago. And then, you know, silver, you know, all time highs, but we'll take it. We're in a really exciting place right now with the metals. I'd like to jump right into silver. Silver is doing its thing. I'd like to just get your thoughts on where we are with silver. It's had one of the best weeks in 40 years. So let's start there.
All right. I'm going to jump around, but most people can follow me and they know that, or at least they may know subconsciously that my mind kind of hits a thought and then vectors around. So for where we are right now.
I love it.
Yeah, what a week. You know, we didn't have that kind of a move. 17% in 1 week. That occurred in the Hunt Brothers. That's been that long, 40 years. So that's kind of a prelude in my thinking to where we're actually going to go in both these metals. If you look at gold, it's been leading silver up. We've seen it, as you said, Kenneth, a new high, which is really a verification of the third leg up. And most markets go in five waves. They go in a wave up, a wave down, a wave up, a wave down. And then the last wave, the fifth wave, or the third wave up, is the most massive in price appreciation, and usually not that long in duration. Which means I went back to that idea that I've done several videos on, folks. You can go out and Google, you know, David Morgan, 90% of the move in the last 10% of the time. That's the title that I've used several times. But in 1979, the beginning, January, silver was at $6. In January 1980, it was 50. I admit it was intraday, but still that was over an 800% increase. And from the bull market start to the bull market end, it was only 8% of the time frame. So anyone out there that's saying, oh my goodness, you know, I missed the boat. I should have bought silver under 20. I've heard David say from time to time that, you know, long term, if you buy silver under 20, you're going to be happy. And that sounded okay at, you know, $18 silver, but it sounded kind of stupid at $14 silver. But it's been my experience for years and years that people don't buy low. They buy high and higher. And most markets work that way. So don't beat yourself up. The point is simply this. If gold is going where I expect it to go, or even half as far as I expect it to go, and silver's gold-silver ratio drops to half of where I expect it to be, we still have a very long ways to go. So I wouldn't say chase this market. I would wait for some consolidation, and probably there will be a sell-off at some point, which is healthy for the market to take a breather and come back. And that would be an entry point. And I don't, you know, want to be the hard sell. I really don't like the hard sell, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, you know, you really should get going here fairly soon. These markets made up, sort of have a mind of their own. And the strength in these markets to me is indicating that something fundamentally has changed. One thing that I know for fact is that the amount of shorts that have taken place during this run-up has just been massively small. Normally, what we see is a huge short position come on board and force the price down. We have not seen that this time. I have witnessed it in the past. Normally, when the shorts are getting creamed, what they do is they stand aside. They just watch, and they let the market exhaust. And what does that mean? It means that the buying pressure subsides. All the retail, all the spec funds, and the public have given it their all, and the volume decreases substantially. And all this is really public data, but most people don't get it real time. And then they step in with a massive short, like, you know, 1 year silver production type of thing, and paper push the price down. However, there's a rumor from Andrew McGuire that, you know, JP Morgan has been told they can't, you know, to subside on their shorting, which may or may not be true. I don't like to spread rumors, but it does jive with the fact I just gave, that no one's really shorting this market heavily when normally that's the case. So we've got that going for us. On top of that, one of the largest silver bulls that I've had the honor of knowing for years and actually sat next to him just before they launched the PSLV, and that's Eric Sprott. Sprott has indicated, this is more of a almost verifiable rumor, that they are going to or proposing to raise $1.5 billion to go into the physical silver market. But I know markets, and Kenneth, so do you, which means it's possible that when they open this offering, $1.5 billion, and some of these big money managers, fund managers, family offices, et cetera, see the opportunity, what if $2.5 billion comes into that? And instead of buying 70 million ounces of fine silver, it's 100 million ounces. Or let's just be fun. Let's have some fun here as a conjecture. Look, folks, I'm speculating. If you don't understand that, let me repeat, I'm speculating here. But there's a lot of interest in silver again. Let's just say that it gets to an equivalent of the Buffett purchase. So the amount of money that pours into this is equivalent to 130 million ounces of fine silver. What do you think that would do to the market if someone comes in and isn't going to play a paper paradigm, isn't going to be pushed around by the paper pushers, but actually puts cash down and wants physical silver to the tune of 130 million ounces of silver? Where do you think the price would go? Now, is silver anticipating this or not? I really can't say, but I think I've gone down that rabbit hole pretty far. You might want to bring me back, Kenneth.
No, I love it. Well, you know, one of the things that I know you look at is the price, and, you know, you use technical analysis to a certain degree to coincide with your fundamental research. And I'm just curious, are you looking at any numbers here in terms of, you know, what we might expect support and resistance to be for silver? Yeah. Because we really saw silver go through that 2016 high resistance level. And when it did, it just absolutely blew through it. Yeah. So, I mean, anything else that we might be looking at here in terms of technical price points?
Yes, I'm going to digress. I'm going to go back to the big run from the 2008 financial crisis. So at that time, it was one of the easiest trades to make is a channel formation. A channel formation, folks, is just a flat line. So silver or any commodity is moving around a certain price range. So it's going, and in those days, it was $19 an ounce. So this was after the bottom at $9. It built a base around $19 for a very long time. So the way you trade a channel formation, if it breaks up through it, you go long. If it breaks down through it, it goes, you go short. So silver was waffling around 19 and it broke up through it. And that technically is a buy signal. And I got right on it. Of course, for my paid members, I said, I'm going long silver here. And it moved rapidly. And this was during the, you know, after financial crisis, I said, forget the exact date. You can look it up. Still in my, you know, my archives for my members. But anyway, it went through 19, rapidly went up to 26. And at that time, it was starting to fall, you know, falter somewhat. And I exited. And a $7 move leverage is a lot of loot, as you would obviously know. And then QE2 was announced. And upon that fundamental change, I went right back in at 26. I might have lost a few pennies. and rode it all the way up to 48. So I had people that retired on that trade. I mean, I have people that are actually well known in the space that I won't name because it's my right to keep their privacy and they want it private. But they wrote me some pretty complimentary emails that, you know what, I got to quit working 10 years early. Thank you very much. So, and, you know, calling the top, luck, skill, whatever. I mean, I'm going to take credit that I did it. That's provable. It's on the web. But, you know, it might have, I'll say it was, I wouldn't say it was luck, but I would say it was tough. You know, it's tough when you're going parabolic because people do want to get the most that they can. And, you know, it was very difficult. So coming back, said all that, and now you really want to know what about technical levels now and let me get there. So after that peak, silver actually moved around the $30 level for quite some time. Check the charts. And I was thinking, gosh, maybe, just maybe, we've got a fundamental shift in the silver market where it's somewhat honest, where a silver miner can actually have enough margin to pay everybody, pay down their debt, and have enough money to do some good exploration and really have a profitable business. 30 was about it in round numbers. It wasn't like huge monetary demand, but for the industrial side, it was more or less a fair price. And it stayed there and stayed there and stayed there. But then it started to falter. It tested the $26 level, Kenneth, four times. Three times it hit it and came back up. And I'm pretty well known to my, you know, paid membership, my premium members, that look, it usually any resistance or support is usually tested three times, two or three, sometimes more. It's the average. And then on the next test, it does what it's portended to do. So on the fourth test, I knew it was going lower. So 26 is actually the magic number technically, which means once you clear 26 and it's got to stay there, it can't. And it, by the way, it touched 26 in the aftermarket almost to the penny. I think it was slightly above. I'm sure there are only two or three trades there. And I doubt anyone listens to me that was, you know, shorting it at 26. But nonetheless, I just had to look at that and kind of laugh to myself. But when it gets above 26 and stays there on volume, we're pretty much on our way. And that would be confirmation of gold's move to a new high, which means a third leg up. So let me come back to that. I think this is exciting. The third leg up, remember the 90% of the move in the last 10% of the time, silver went from 6 to 50. Gold went from, I forget what it was, like 200 to 800. It was like a 400% move, about half as much as silver. So this time around, usually the third leg up does twice as good as the previous leg. You know, remember, there's three legs up, two legs down. Well, the third leg, excuse me, the third leg or the second wave up. So it was up, down, up. So the third one of the five. So I hope I'm not confusing people. It's all in my head. But anyway, the move from the bottom in 2009 to the peak I just mentioned was roughly $9 to $50. So let's round it to 10 and say it was a five bagger. Usually the next move is a double that. So that would imply a 10 bagger. So if you take the intraday low of $12 and you factor by factor of 10, you got $120 silver. Is that out of the question? I don't think it is. I mean, when this market just started rolling and I got on the web and started being asked to speak and got interviews and wrote the books and all I've done for the public, I've done a lot of free for the public, as you well know, as well as my paid, you know, premium service and my mastermind. I said back then, which took a lot of guts because you're looking at $5 silver back then, that we would see $100 silver. So I was predicting a 20 bagger in the metal alone way back at the beginning. And I still adhere to that. I don't want people to focus too much on the paper price. I just want to give an indication we have far higher to go. Because in a fiat fiasco, which we're now seeing with QE to infinity, really the reality is it's infinite. I mean, when you divide by something that's absolutely worthless, then the true price is, you know, it's the infinity symbol. But in practical terms, I think that 100, I wouldn't say it's conservative, but I think it's more conservative than some of the others. And we don't know. It could be 200, it could be 300. I mean, if you just look at gold going to 3,000, which Bank of America has been saying again and again and again, and they want to be ahead of the curve. They want to be ahead of the herd. They don't want their clients that are, you know, being managed by wealth managers to say, why didn't you put me in gold? I've lost my, you know, I've lost my fortune in the stock market, the real estate market, the bond market, everything you guys had me in, and you never mentioned gold. So they're getting ahead of the curve. They're mentioning gold publicly, and you can bet your bottom dollar they're putting their wealth management top tier clients that have managed money into gold. So anyway, coming back on point, if gold makes 3,000 and the gold silver ratio goes to, you know, 10 to 1, which is an extreme, then you've got, you know, $300 gold. If it goes to, you know, 15 to 1, you got $200 gold. So if you just go back to 30 to 1, which is what it hit in the peak in 2011, 30 into 3,000 is $100 silver. So, you know, basis that, I do interviews a little different than others, and you know that, Kenneth. I like to give you my thinking. I don't pull a number out. Jim Rickards does the same thing. And just let me shout out to Jim, because I really like to read him, and his thinking and mine are very similar. And I look at that as a compliment to him. But, you know, that's my reasoning there. So, oh, 100, oh, come on, David's, you know, what's he on this time or whatever the trolls are going to say. Go ahead and say it. But I just gave you some pretty clear thinking on why 100 isn't so unreasonable. So let me turn it back to you.
I love it. I appreciate your honesty there. You've always been honest with us here in the good times and the bad. You know, we were doing these interviews when it was not a pretty picture. People didn't want to hear about gold and silver. They were tired of it. And you're right. People don't like to buy when things are low, because that usually means a lot of capitulation. They've been exhausted by it. So hopefully the markets haven't washed and rinsed investors too badly that they're just going to completely ignore this market from here on out. I'll let you respond to that. But I also wanted to touch on something else. Let's say $100 silver is your conservative price projection. What is your mindset on when you start to get out? Are you even more conservative on when you start to sell? Is $80 silver when you sell? Or how do you start to respond to timing your exits?
Well, it's extremely difficult in the third leg up, because it goes parabolic, and I think it could go double parabolic, and I don't have time to explain that. But it's really hard when things just keep going up limit, up limit, up limit. We could get there. And where you take profits, plus you have to have a liquid market. So number one, you know, people can say I'm touting this. So, okay, I'm touting this. One of the best ways to look at it is a book that's on the website. If you go to themorganreport.com and pull down the book tab, buy the book Second Chance. It's the best $20 you'll ever spend on protecting your profits. So there's many methodologies that David Smith and myself put together for the investor, especially in a volatile market like the metals, to protect their profits. So that's number one. Number two is I have to just kind of look at the data in real time and see, you know, what the price and the volumes are. If there's a big price move and it's low volume, that's usually an indicator we're getting really close to the end, because there has to be price support. And price support means there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of buyers and sellers. And if there's not a lot of volume, you are in trouble. So that's a leading indicator. So that's one. Another one is sentiment. You know, when you get in the, you know, front page of, you know, the Washington Post, for example, says silver bugs go ballistic. You see that headline, you should be exiting at least some of your position. The news media, the mainstream news starts talking, you know, major money manager from a New York firm decides that they're putting half of their cash available into the gold market. Anything like that, where the mainstream press comes out and starts supporting the precious metals, or at least not maybe supporting, but reporting, those are pretty clear indicators. So there's a lot to look for, but there's no magic formula. And the way I really called the top in the last market was all the things I just indicated and my subscriber base. I was starting to get an exponential move in people subscribing to the Morgan Report. I mean, my normal, you know, couple a week or whatever, all of a sudden 2 a day, 3 a day, 5 a day, 10 in a day. Okay, all right, this has got to be it. So that was also helpful to me to have that kind of increase. I knew that those numbers were exponential. It's never happened before, and at that time been publishing for maybe 12, 13 years or so. And I said, okay, that's another one. And, you know, I just sort of gut instinct, whatever, said, you know what? I'm not looking for that last tick. And I wanted to sell into volume. And I checked the volume. There's still a lot of buying. So that's good. If you want to sell and there's a lot of buying, you've got somebody to sell to. So, God, I think within 3-4 days, the ultimate top. I actually have to brag a little bit, but there was, you know, I talked about some of the people that retired, but I met a guy, did a workshop shortly thereafter, and I did it in Los Angeles, and we did it at a, you know, medium-grade hotel. One of the guys in the elevator came from the Netherlands. He said, man, I made a mistake. I said, well, what's that? He goes, I was way over-leveraged, man. I basically bet the complete farm, and I was so enthusiastic, but I subscribed to you, and I got out. And this is for you. And he handed me this box of Belgium chocolates. I'll never forget that. But he said, man, without you, I probably would have lost everything. So, you know, those kind of things make you. And I'm not saying you should ever, ever leverage a silver or gold investment. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at that time I did. Will I do it again? I'm not sure. But the past is the past. The fact is a fact. And it's kind of fun to throw these factoids out when finally we got some juice in the gold and silver market. So. That's all I've got on that.
Let's talk a little bit about what we saw this year with the initial crash. You know, metals were doing great. And then we went through this black swan event. We saw flushing of the system. And then during the fallout of that, we started to see the chips settle and metals recover and go through a really historic move, which was very exciting, obviously led by gold and then now silver. But let's talk a little bit about what happens if there's another leg down in the equities market. Do you suspect it will mimic what we saw in 08 and then during the March crash here? Or is it changed? Has the physical market, the resource market, the precious metal sector, has it changed enough where it might just absorb the new capital and continue during a crash? Or you know, what's your expectation surrounding that? Because obviously things like consumer demand, you know, earnings are actually okay considering all the trillions of dollars that have been thrown at the system. But what happens if that falls out, you know, the floor falls out from under that and we see a real fundamental problem?
Yeah, I really struggle with that. And it's an excellent question. And I get it all the time. In fact, that is the question I get asked the most often. So from history, it's easy to answer. When we get a huge crash in the stock market, gold, silver, gold mining shares, ETFs, everything associated, go down with it. So we know that from history. So from history, that's the most likely. But what I struggle with, Kenneth, is what you indicated. Now, especially now that we've got an extreme amount of strength in the metals, the monetary metals, and we've got a lot more support because a lot more new money is coming into this market. And then I, you know, as I indicated earlier, Sprott and others that are, let's say, putting more than schoolboy investments into this market. It's gone way beyond just the retail market. Would it or could it just ignore a huge sell-off in the general equity market? The answer is, of course, it could. But what's the way to bet? The answer is, I really don't know. I suspect that you would get a temporary fall like we already saw with that $12 silver print, which is ridiculous. By the way, folks, probably two contracts traded at that level and started right back up. I mean, to think you could have loaded the boat at $12 silver, forget about it. In fact, I bought the day before a fairly significant amount of physical for my own account. And, you know, I missed it by a day. So I called my dealer back. I'm not going to renege on a deal. I never have. But, you know, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I get it $2 cheaper. I called him. I said, what would I have to pay if I was buying today? And he said the same. So when these things happen, the bid-ask spread in the physical, real, honest-to-God market really didn't change that much. My $14 on paper silver price, I won't tell you the exact price I paid, but it was a fairly big margin over. But that's what you had to pay if you wanted to be in the honest-to-God silver market instead of this paper paradigm nonsense that's been controlling the prices for so long. So I think I answered the question. I really think it's more likely to go down, but very briefly, like we've already witnessed. But I wouldn't bet on it. I think the best position to have right now, rather than wait for that occurrence to take place, is to have some now. So what I've been telling my subscribers is get some, get a half a loaf of bread. It's better than a full, it's better than no bread, and be prepared with a good cash position that if we get that fallout, you can either finish your purchase or average down, or, you know, take advantage of that pullback.
Absolutely. And it's interesting how markets train the conventional wisdom. I mean, we're always looking at what happened in history. And I think that's part of the reason why we see general equities pull back so quickly, because people saw what happened in 08 when people had bought the bottom of the S&P, the Dow Jones, you know, saw this 400% rise over the next 10 years in equity markets. And, you know, looking at what we saw this year, I mean, we saw the fastest pullback almost to where we were, because I think the investors around the world were just expecting that. They're saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to miss the boat this time on this pullback. So I to apply that to what we might see in precious metals, I almost feel like if there is a fallback, a pullback, it's going to happen maybe very, very quickly, because everyone's going to say, hey, we're in a bull market. This is temporary. We saw this in March. It might not even be as drawn out as what we saw in March because of the most recent experience we had in precious metals.
Let me add on to that. Yeah, it could be intraday. I mean, it could be where the, you know, stock market is really falling. And so the circuit breakers come on and they stop trading for 2 hours and they put it back on and it drops again. Well, there could be the pros and the algos moving into the gold market on that drop. So for an example, let's just take a number. Let's say gold drops $200 or something. There could be a lot of algos and money managers and people that are awake and alive buying gold on that dip. And then at the close of the market, when the circuit breakers come back on and the Dow is down X amount, gold had made this $200 move down, but it closes only off 25 bucks. And then the next day it comes back up and it's up another 25 bucks from the previous day's close. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. What I'm saying is, based on what happened on this massive sell-off that took place in March, the bounce back occurred much quicker than I anticipated, which I was very happy to see. What it means is there's a lot of strength in the market. And since that time, we've probably doubled or tripled the amount of strength in the market on higher prices, which means, as you just indicated, and I'm furthering the idea that we might see something so minuscule in time duration that if you're not sitting at your computer, you might miss the boat on getting that dip. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm just trying to indicate the momentum in this market and the shift of thinking about where you've got to be. There's a video I haven't had the chance to watch yet. I think it was produced by my friend Mike Maloney, and he did another person I really admire, Chris Martinson. And I think the title of the video, and again, I haven't watched it, but it's like there's no place else to go. And that's basically true. I mean, when you get a bond in a stock market sell-off, real estate really isn't viable in a lot of instances. I don't want the real estate people beating me up, but look, there's a lot of problems on most of the real estate market as well. So really the one place you can go is the gold and silver market. And when you've got, you know, financial markets in the 200 to 400 trillion range, I mean, think about that kind of money trying to move into a gold market.
Good words. David Morgan, everyone, of the Morgan Report. David, share some closing thoughts with us. And of course, let everyone know what they can expect to find if they visit you at your website, the services you provide. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Well, closing thoughts are, you know, 10% of your portfolio into the metals is probably enough for almost everybody. It's not too late. If gold's going to 3,000, I think it's going beyond that, but we're roughly 2,000 now, and I doubt that the Dow or the S&P is going to do that kind of percentage gain. So even though that might sound humble relative to a penny stock that goes from 12 cents to $1.20, it's still a substantive gain. Plus, you're in a very liquid, well-known and safe asset. Money that lasted 5,000 years is pretty safe. So that's number one. Number two is just go to themorganreport.com, get on our free list. I have, you know, a paid premium service and a mastermind service, and I also have a lot for the public. So the public availability is right there for free. Go to the blog a couple times a week. Pull that blog menu down. All the interviews I do that are public are on that. And at the top of the blog page, there's like a strip across the top, small icons, but it'll take you to our Twitter feed, our YouTube channel, our LinkedIn channel, our Facebook, and probably something else. And there's a good chance going to the YouTube channel of getting further education. Not only will you get the videos like this, but I also post videos that are very meaningful, and sometimes they're fairly long, about different ideas of the day, meaning not only finance and metals, but what's going on in health, what's going on in the food system, what's going on geopolitically, what we're looking on, these weather changes. I mean, a lot of things that I study that I don't necessarily report in the public domain because it's not my expertise, but I've been a lifelong learner and a lifelong thinker. And I'm really here as one, and I hope this doesn't sound egotistical, but I'm here for humanity. I have a purpose to my life and I try to live it every day. I try to give much more than I get. And I'm not talking about monetary terms. I'm talking about speaking the truth to power from the head and the heart. And I always appreciate the opportunity, Kenneth, to be on your channel.
Thanks, David. Man, that reminded me of some of our previous conversations. We've had some real good ones, talked about life and happiness and just so many different things. So again, thanks for coming on the show with me today. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.